Today on Abounding Grace.
So many today wonder and strive. I would think that some even listening to me right now are desperately worried that you have missed the will of God. It gets so spiritualized that you come to the place where you're thinking, I've just missed it. I made a left turn when I should have made a right turn, or I'm not sure how God wants to lead me and guide me. You know, we want to know the will of God, but sometimes we make it so much more than it really is, so much harder than the simplicity of abiding in Christ and following his lead, being on the way.
This is amazing grace.
Great to be with you, and welcome again to Abounding Grace. We're on an incredible journey through Genesis with our pastor and teacher, Ed Taylor. What is God's will for my life? It's a frequently asked question by Christians, and today we'll learn that sometimes we overcomplicate things. Pastor Ed will explain how it is that God leads his people as we turn together to Genesis chapter 24.
Take your Bibles and open them to Genesis chapter 24. We'll pick up where we left off last time, finishing the chapter. And I've entitled our Bible study, The Lord Led Me. And this chapter happens to be one of my most favorite in the Bible. This phrase that's being used by the servant of Abraham. And as we're studying through the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 24, you'll remember, is a big change. It's a turning point. It's a big break in the second division of Genesis. We divided Genesis, remember, into two parts. Chapters 1 through 11 cover four great events. It covers creation, and then the fall, then the flood, and then the Tower of Babel. While the second part, chapters 20 through 50, cover four people. Four events, four people. And the second half covers Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Abraham's fading off the scene. We're turning our attention to Isaac. We learned last time that Isaac is about 40 years of age here in chapter 24. It's time for him to be married. Abraham calls his servant, sends him back home to find a wife for his son, which was a seemingly impossible task. We learned that in our study. Eleazar is his name. He heads out to the city of Nahor, stops at a well, lays this request before the Lord. In verse 15, it says, "And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder." Before he's even done praying, God answers his prayer. Rebekah arrives, waters his camels. And we don't want to forget the typology. We examined this in depth last time. We don't want to forget it today. The typology here, in a broader sense, Abraham is a type of God the Father in this true story. Isaac represents Jesus the Son. There is a new person, the unnamed servant, which we believe is Eleazar, representing a type of the picture of the Holy Spirit. The servant, this type of the Holy Spirit, gave a bride these valuable gifts. Valuable and precious. We saw the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And God is taking what's being said and being presented and through it pointing us to Jesus, revealing more of his character. Let's pick up now in verse 27 of chapter 24. It says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master." And this is one of those verses I have highlighted in green. It's one of those go ministry verses, a verse that reminds me it's fundamental, foundational for serving Jesus. I have it highlighted green. "As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told those of her mother's house these things." This phrase, This phrase, "as for me, being on the way the Lord led me," is, I believe, one of the most important keys in determining the will of God for your life. So many today wonder and strive. I would think that some even listening to me right now are desperately worried that you have missed the will of God. It gets so spiritualized that you come to the place where you're thinking, I've just missed it. I made a left turn when I should have made a right turn, or I'm not sure how God wants to lead me and guide me. It's a key, you know, we want to know the will of God, but sometimes we make it so much more than it really is, so much harder than the simplicity of abiding in Christ and following his lead, being on the way. Many believers, you know, they'll sit back and do nothing. And they'll think, I know how God will lead me. I'll just sit back and I'll wait for something to happen. Yeah, it's silly, you know, you might be unemployed right now and there you are. I know what I'll do. I'll just sit here and I'll pray for a job. And you never put any applications, you never make any phone calls, you never knock on any doors, you never take the job that's before you because you're always waiting for something else, and you sit there wondering, I don't think I'm in the will of God. Step out, and don't just sit around waiting for something to happen. And that's the key, being on the way. Get up and start moving. And we have these pictures and these thoughts of how God really speaks to his people. But more often than not, God will lead and speak to his people while they're in the process of living their life. Living life. We want that burning bush. But how many times in the Bible did that happen? Once, to one person. It doesn't happen again. We want to be walking along and let the donkey talk to us. But how many times did that happen? Once, to one guy. And by the way, it happened to a rebellious man at that. We want these supernatural, like unmistakable fleeces that we lay out. But really, God uses us being on the way in everyday life, in everyday situations. We have this perfect illustration of this very fact. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. We studied this not too long ago. And over in Acts chapter 8, I want to remind you of it. I want you to see it because I have in my Bible marked the verbs. And I want you to mark them if you haven't already. Acts chapter 8. We have a beautiful illustration of this here in the early church. Philip is ministering in a very dynamic time in Samaria. There's a wonderful move of the Spirit. Many are committing their lives to Jesus. Out of the blue, an angel comes and tells him to head to the desert. Leave this revival and go towards the desert. Go on the road toward Gaza. Now put yourself in his sandals for a second. He's in the midst of something super exciting, very dynamic. It would lead to, I think if I was in his shoes, I would question God a little bit. I mean, I'd hope I'd obey. I don't know that I'd be so quick to obey. I'm like, are you sure? You sure you got the right Ed? There's a lot of Eds around here. Are you sure you got the right one? Because I think God's using me right here. I think that this is where I should be. Look at the fruit. We can think of all of the phrases and the cliches we might even come up with to question the leading of God. God did lead him. Notice in chapter 8 and verse 26, here's how the Bible describes it. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, mark these words, arise and go. When does Philip receive these words? While he's ministering, while he's serving, he's living life. He was doing what God had called him to do, and while he was doing what God called him to do, God spoke to him, get up and go. And he gives the direction toward the south along the road, which goes down to Gaza. This is desert. He doesn't really give him anything else. In verse 27, mark these words. So he arose and went. He's on the move, on the move, on the move. Then as he arose and went, this man of Ethiopia caught his eye. And then the Spirit of the Lord said in verse 29, go near and overtake the chariot. And then mark these words in verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And how does this end? But the man getting saved and taking the gospel back home. And it was while Philip was doing what God had called him to do, while he was on the way. I think perhaps the only thing holding some of you back today from a dynamic ministry in serving God is just going for it. Taking the first step. I wonder who's listening to me right now is just waiting for it all to be explained to you. If you just get all the steps, you take this one, and then I'll lead to this one, and then I'll lead to this one, and this is exactly what the next 5 years of your life will look like. And so you're waiting for that fullness of it, of something to be explained to you, when God is just saying, just be on the way. like with this servant here. Abraham said, go, and he went. There was some hesitation. I think God makes room for hesitation. What if she doesn't want to come? Was one of the questions. He had a valid question. And the answer was simple. If she doesn't want to come, she doesn't have to come. Leave her. She doesn't have to come. And we learned that became a type and a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember? The ministry of the Holy Spirit's not going to force you. I'm going to make you against your will. If you don't want to come, don't come. If you don't want to follow the Lord, don't follow the Lord. You don't want to repent of your sins, don't repent of your sins. Just understand that that decision comes with a consequence. And more so, if we could take that illustration and expand it just a little bit more by application, if you're listening to me right now in the study of God's word and you don't want to step out, don't step out. But there's a consequence that comes with that. If you don't want to be on the way because it's scary, or you don't want to be on the way because it's impossible, or you don't want to be on the way because you don't like it, or you don't think that's what God has for you, or you don't want to be on the way, then don't go on the way. But also don't expect God to say, oh, that's okay, we'll set that aside. I have something else for you. Many times, you might want to jot this down, many times, one of the easiest steps in knowing what the will of God is for your life is to go back to the last thing that God told you and obey it. Just go back to the last thing God had told you and obey it. It may be a repetition of where you are right now, but it's also an affirmation and a reaffirmation of the will of God for your life. I'll give you an example. You're in college right now. You don't want to be in college. You just think, I need to get out in the big bad world and go get a job, but God told me to go to college. I don't know what the will of God, I don't like college, I don't know what the will of God is. One way to discern the will of God is go back to when the Lord said, go to college, and obey that in that moment. You go, but Ed, that doesn't tell me much. No, it actually does tell you a lot. Stay in college while you're discontented. Stay where God has you because you're on the way there. And that discontentment and the doubts and the concerns are confusing you. That confusion's not from the Lord. I would say that too, as I have the privilege of serving pastors. I've served wonderful pastors here on our team. As we co-labor together, I get to serve pastors around the city, around the country, even around the world. And I'll tell you, more often than not, one of the ministries that God would have me as a messenger of him is to say, look, I know things are hard right now, but you need to go back to when God called you. And remember the calling of God. It will get you through this. You can say by definitively, God has you where you are by his will. And go back to the calling. Go back to the verse that he gave you. Go back to the confirmation he gave you. And say, Lord, I'm going to meet you back here in this place of peace. And I'm going to meet you back here in this place of safety. And I'm going to meet you back here in this place of calling and confirmation. Because I know that all the confusion and the doubting is not helping me serve you well. Some of the things that are holding you back is just stepping out into the unknown. Doing even the most simplest things spiritually. We're not getting into the list I have prepared for you today yet. I will. I have a list of things that you can jot down that will help you. But let me give you another one on the pre-list. One of the ways that will help you discern the will of God is to be faithful where you are. Be faithful. That may include you stop murmuring and complaining or stop worrying or fretting, but be faithful in even the most simplest of things. Be faithful where you are. It's so important. Knowing the will of God doesn't always include some huge, big, scary step into the unknown. Most of the time, it is the next step of simple, regular, ordinary life. I think I taught a Bible study many years ago in Samuel about the God of the mundane, just the normal everyday life. You just do what's in front of you. Just do what you're asked. I think of the school ministry that we have, brand new class. This is every week. Just do what you're asked. Just do what you're asked. Trust us and do what you're asked. The Lord will take care of the rest. If you don't do what you're asked, then there's friction and conflict. And of course, you're not discerning what the will of God is for you. It's not always some huge, big, scary step. It might be a small, scary step. It might be a small step you don't like. It could be just answer the phone. Stop sending it to voicemail. Answer the phone. That's not to anyone in particular, but maybe it is. Read the Connect email that we send to you in the life of your church and pray over it. Fill out a ministry application. How about this? You want to know the will of God for your life? Read your Bible every day. Open yourself up to the Lord in the morning or in the afternoon or the evening. You want to know the will of God? Pray every day. You want to know the will of God for your life? Take a prayer walk. Reach out to someone. Text them. Pray for them. Be faithful in the little things. Do what you can do. And don't always put yourself in a place where I'm not in the will of God. Even if you're in a very difficult place right now. Even if the difficult place that you're in right now is because of your own sin or your own consequences. Even if you're in a place you don't want to be in. Even if, and you can fill in the blanks, I can say with definitive, with no hesitation, you are where you are in this moment by the will of God. God has you where he has you. And so embrace him by faith. I'm not saying that's where he wants to keep you. I'm not saying that you couldn't be in a better place or we could have made decisions, but we're not going to live our life just always looking in the rearview mirror, regretting all the mistakes that we made. We're going to repent from them. We're going to lay them before the Lord. We're going to cast our cares for him, and we're going to embrace the moment. Some people live their whole life wanting to know, what's the will of God for my life? And they live in the clouds, and their feet are never on the ground. The will of God is just like what Joshua said. I love it. God gave this to me early on when I moved here to Colorado. And he's used it in so many different ways. And I didn't exactly know why, but he gave me great encouragement. When he gave the encouragement to Joshua, he also gave it to me. Wherever the sole your feet tread, I have given you. That means wherever I am, that's where God wants me. And sure, my feet can get myself into trouble. But I think what we're learning with Abraham, even in his trouble, the Lord was with him. And he'll get his feet out of there. Get your feet out of here, man. You don't belong here, Abraham. And God, what did he do? Even with Abraham and that king, when he lied about his wife, God himself rescued Abraham from it. Put a heavy burden upon the king to rescue him. Why? Because he loves you. Yes, there's consequences. Yes, there's difficulties. But look, be faithful. Be faithful where you are. Be on the way. I believe that God wants us to take steps of faith. I was meditating on this verse recently. You can jot it down in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Jesus said, don't fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't fear. God wants to give you his kingdom. He wants you to enjoy the kingdom. He wants you to flourish and thrive. So don't fear. Get back to that place of abiding. You know, you ask the Lord whatever you want, and if it's according to his will, he's going to grant it to you. And how do you pray according to his will? You're abiding in him, and his will is your will. Now, many years ago, we went verse by verse, a Bible study through the book of Romans. And when you get to chapter 12, we paused, and I would encourage, if you want the deeper Bible studies on this, if you're really wrestling with discovering the will of God for your life, we went many, many weeks through Romans chapter 12, right there in the first few verses, many weeks on how to discover the will of God. So I went back to the notes there, and I noticed a couple of relevant things that I can share with you today that will help you in a practical way discover the will of God for your life. You can ask some key questions before the Lord, and the way he answers them will lead you in making decisions. And by the way, we have a goal of studying 40 verses in our study today. And we are on verse 2. Just want to give you a heads up. So here's some things. You can go back to on the app or on the web in the book of Romans chapter 12. All those chapters are before you even get into the spiritual gifts. You talk about presenting yourself to the Lord. We went through it in depth. But let me give you a few things. Number one, you're looking to discern the will, practical steps, discovering the will of God. Number one, God will speak to you through his word. That makes sense. He'll speak to you through his word. In Psalm 119, in verse 104, it says, through your precepts, I get understanding. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Now, I just want you to consider for a moment how often you lean on people's opinions to discover God's will before you ever get to the word. Go to the word first. Let it saturate your life. Sow the seeds of the word of God. That's where you're going to get understanding. God will never lead you contrary to his written word. This is the bedrock and the absolute clear and complete revelation of God that we measure all other so-called revelations. There is no new revelation. The new revelations you and I experience are revelations of intimacy with the Father. The Word of God is the established standard. The Bible would describe it as the Word, the faith, once and for all delivered. Once and for all delivered. So I always want to make sure that this is what the Bible teaches. I want to be in the Bible. I want it to change me. I don't want to change what the Bible says. Obviously, none of us do. But you think when you get into emotion, when you're fearful, when you don't know what the will of God is, you can very easily twist the word to your own harm. You've got to let it change you. You got to be conformed in the image of Christ. You need to be changed. You don't want to change what the Bible says. The Bible is crystal clear. Like, for example, again, another silly illustration. Is it okay to sleep with my girlfriend? Yes or no? No. Why? The Bible says so. Fornication is a sin. It is never okay. Ever, never, ever, never, ever, never. Why? Not because I said so. The Bible says it. It's never. But what about? No, it's not what about. What about what the Bible says? Let's settle that first. Well, the Bible says, I can't sleep with my boyfriend. I can't have sexual relations outside of marriage. That's what the Bible says. But what about? No, there's no what about. That's what the Bible says. You don't need to go any farther. This is the will of God for your life. Your sexual morality, it is not for you. The will of God for your life, the Bible says clearly, is for you to flee sexual immorality. Run away.
Well, there you have the first practical step we can take in discovering the will of God for our lives. God speaks to us through His Word, so go to the Word first. Pastor Ed Taylor will be right back to share some more practical helps here on Abounding Grace, so don't rush away. If you joined us late or would just like to give this a second listen, go online to AboundingGraceRadio.com or OnePlace.com. And please remember, Abounding Grace is made possible through the support of our listeners. We simply can't do this alone. When you give a donation of $25 or more to Abounding Grace, you're invited to request a copy of Pastor Ed's book, Ordinary Servant. You know, no matter your background or years as a Christian, God can and wants to use you. You'll learn how in this wonderful book. You might even want to go through this with your small group at church. Again, we'll send you Ordinary Servant by Ed Taylor with our thanks for a gift of $25 or more today. Reach us at 877-30-GRACE or visit calvaryco.store. If you're not interested in the book of the month but would just like to make a donation to the ministry, go online to AboundingGraceRadio.com and click Donate. Again, we're talking about God's will for our lives and how He leads and guides us. Here's Pastor Ed once again.
Number two, you want to discover the will of God? God will speak to you through your circumstances. You want to pay attention to circumstances. We have to be careful here. Circumstances are not the only way that God will speak, but He will use them. This is not the only way to discern whether God is leading us or not. It's not isolated, it's not primary, but God does use it. This is the phrase we usually use to describe circumstances. You ready? So you can put it all in the context, especially those of you that are new believers, newer believers, you can understand some Christian phrases of what we mean. Many times we'll describe circumstances as open doors and closed doors. Why? Because it makes total sense. An open door says, come on in, and a closed door says, you can't. An open door is yes. A closed door is no. And God will use the yeses and nos of circumstances. Not isolated and not primary. But we also don't want to ignore them. We don't want to ignore them. God uses both yes and no in our lives. Thirdly, God will use for us peace. A peace in our hearts. Again, this is not isolated. So let me just say, God will never give you a peace to do something sinful. So please don't come, well, you know, God has just given me a peace. Well, like a peace for what? What you're about to do is so wrong. Well, no, God's given me a peace. Now, I can tell you right now, that is not a peace from God. That is your own sinful, fleshly selfishness. You've just chosen to do your own thing, to do it your own way, and blame God for it. And you will pay a price for that. However, God does promise in Philippians, He promises us in chapter 3, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. And what does He say? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, which is your emotions, which really confuses us, and your minds, where our spiritual warfare takes place, of what we will believe through Christ Jesus. And it is possible to have a settled peace to go forward so that you can come back and go, wow, I was on the way, the Lord led me.
So sometimes God will give us a peace in our hearts to help us discern His will, and He also will speak through our circumstances, open and close doors. Well, much more could be said about this, so we'll reserve our next Abounding Grace to talk about this further. Don't miss what Pastor Ed Taylor has to say tomorrow.
This is Amazing Grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.